This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I am so happy you are here. As we continue through a very long encyclical by Pope Pius XI, Quadragesimo Anno, which, to remind you, means 40th year, and is the encyclical that celebrates the 40th year of the encyclical Rerum Novarum by Pope Leo XIII, which was a real breakthrough encyclical in the arena of social justice. Now, today we are in part six, but kind of we're in part one of part six. And we'll do a second part, which will really be our ultimate part seven. But we're talking about, in these next few paragraphs of the encyclical, reform of institutions and morality, and we'll get more to that in a moment. At times in life, someone comes along and says the truth and names the elephant in the room, and it leaves everyone in silence. It is sad, really, that we give ourselves to such an illusion so much that when someone names the elephant in the room, instead of feeling relieved, we feel uncomfortable and shocked that someone would name it and point it out. But today, as we study the next section of this encyclical, Pope Pius XI names the elephant in the room, that both institutions and the human heart need reformed, or all of this discussion is for naught. Now, I encourage you to read this long section together. We're actually going to be looking at paragraphs 75 through 96. Again, encyclicals within the Catholic Church are numbered paragraphs. And so today we're in paragraph 75 through 96. I encourage you to read this long section for yourself to get details. Again, it's easy for you to find this encyclical and the encyclicals of the popes. You just simply go to the Vatican's website. Go to the popes, and it's got all their pictures. Click on, well, for this one, click on Pope Pius XI's picture, and voila, his encyclicals are there. And read these paragraphs for yourself, because it is a long section. And what I'm just simply going to do is bring out the main points of this section of the encyclical. And the first principle that's brought out in this is that to achieve just wages, as we've discussed a lot, and Pope Leo XIII discussed it in his encyclical. Now Pope Pius XI is discussing just wages again for workers. But what he's showing is in this section is that to achieve just wages, there has to be a holistic approach to not just only just wages, but also just prices on products. So the question I want to present to you, and you can send it to me in the email that will be listed at the end of the podcast, and the question is this: is supply and demand the only formula that's available in economics? Now, you hear it a lot in Western countries, especially capitalist countries, supply and demand. Supply and demand drives up prices, lowers prices, and so on, but the question posed here is supply and demand the only formula that's available? Well, Pope Pius XI would say no. He would say no, there's a more holistic way of looking at just wages, and not just through supply and demand, not just through, you know, higher paychecks and all of these issues. But how does someone achieve a just wage rather than just constantly raising paychecks? Because as we saw before, the Pope says you can raise wages to a point of breaking the company, then everybody's out of a job. So there's got to be a better way of looking at just wages for people. for workers, rather. The second principle he brings out is that there remains more than dealing with just individual injustices and individual wages, but we must also consider the bigger social order. Now, we don't exist in a vacuum, and I know it's preached, especially among conservatives in America, you know, rugged individualism. But the fundamental flaw in that is that we don't exist in a vacuum. We are interconnected as humans. I want to talk about a phrase I don't use very much, but that is the phrase interdependent. You know, there's codependent, which is not healthy. There's independent, but then there's interdependent. And interdependent is really, to me, the perfect solution in a society is as a society we live interdependently, and we do really anyways, but we try to fake ourselves out to believe we're not. So what we tend to focus on is codependence. You can find that in socialism. Independence, you can find that in capitalism. But then there's a third option, interdependence, where yes, we are creatively expressing ourselves individually while depending upon each other in an interdependent, healthy way. So it would look like this. We pretend that I am a self-made millionaire. Of course, I'm not a self-made millionaire. I'm not even any kind of millionaire, not even close. But I mean, if I were to be a millionaire, I say, I'm a self-made millionaire. No, you are not. It took a whole lot of people to make you that millionaire. So you see, we're interdependent. Look at the simple things in life. Today is the day for the garbage and recycled to be and compost to be hauled away from my curbside. So I had to make sure all the proper cans were out by the street this morning before I left for work. And guess what? Am I going to put all of that in my car and I'm just going to drive it to the dump or the recycling facility myself? No. It takes the garbage worker to do that, or the recycle hauler to do that. They can't do their job unless somebody's creating contracts. Those people, none of them can do their job unless there's somebody building the trucks to haul it. The people building the trucks can't do that job unless there's miners to mine the materials, and on it goes. We're all very interconnected. And what the Pope brings out in this section is that we need to not deal so much with just individual injustices, but rather look at the bigger social order of things. What's really going on in the fabric of society that's creating these injustices? Because it's actually a deeper issue than what we observe on the surface. So maybe we can look at unjust laws, unjust societal habits. You know, every society develops habits, and we don't even realize we're doing it. It's funny because there's a lot of immigrants and refugees who come to my city to live here in Portland, and, you know, they'll ask me, why do you do this or do that? And it's like, man, when they ask me that, I have to stop and think, as I don't even realize I do certain things as someone born and raised in America, because we develop habits as a society. We're not even realizing we're doing it. And then when I meet these immigrants and they do certain things because they were trained by their society, I have to ask them, why do you do that? And they have to stop and think because they don't even know why they do it. They just do it out of habit. So we got to look, is there habits in our society that are negative habits that are creating injustices? Are there unjust procedures in place? Are there underlying assumptions? And those underlying assumptions are unjust. Like, for example, the underlying assumptions throughout history that women are less than human, or that people of color are less than human, or whatever those underlying assumptions of a society, we've got to challenge those. But we can't even challenge them if we don't even stop time to think and assess what those things may be. The third principle that the Pope brings out is two things are necessary to have a just social order. One is the reform of institutions, that is the state, and the correction of morals. And today we're going to look at the first one. The next time we'll look at the morals. But the state needs to be challenged. The government needs to be challenged. And we need to reform its institutions if necessary, and a correction of morals, because without a moral and holy people, it's all a waste of time. Because true social justice comes from holiness. It comes from having a righteous heart. More on that next time. The fourth point he brings out is that we have come to a point in history where there are only two entities in society, the state and the individual. He says that's an unfortunate thing. He calls this most unfortunate, that all we have left is the state and the individual. He states that society should be made up of individuals who are formed into small associations. You know, I think of the tribes. For most of human history, many humans have lived in tribes. And so he says that these small associations are good for society. That individuals in these small associations should be carrying the weight of society and doing most of the work, with the state simply making sure things are functioning in their proper limits. So the state's kind of stepping back and taking an aerial view of society, make sure everything is within its limits. You know, this may be a silly, illustration, I guess, example. But let's say that, okay, federal government's in charge of making sure the states are located in their proper positions, right? So you've got the state of California, and their job is like, oh yeah, as a job, we're supposed to be staying on the West Coast. And you've got the state of Michigan, they're like, okay, our job is to stay put, you know, as a state here on this peninsula we're on. And then what if the federal government with this aerial view is like, man, what is going on with Oregon? They're just kind of floating off in the Pacific Ocean, you know, and so the state has to bring Oregon back in, you know. It's like kind of a silly example, but that's kind of maybe laughing at my stupid example help you think that that's kind of what the Pope is saying the state's job is. Just take that aerial look, make sure everybody's in proper bounds, but to not be doing the work. It is the work of the individuals and their associations they belong to be doing the work. So it isn't the government's job to do the work for Oregon. Oregon needs to do its own work and so on. And that's kind of the way it's in the U.S. Constitution set up for America, is that the states are the ones that have the power, not the federal government. That's why you'll see different speed limits in different states. In Oregon, it's 70 in the rural areas on the interstates, but you get to Idaho, it's 85. Why is it different? Different states, different powers. They can make their own decisions. Some states legalize marijuana, others do not, abortion, and so on. Why? States have the power. And that's what the Pope is saying, is that society runs much better when individuals in their own associations carry the weight of society, doing most of the work, again, with the state just simply making sure things are functioning in proper limits. However, he grieves that the state, due to present conditions, has taken on a burden that it was not meant to carry. So the government wasn't meant to deal with the homeless problem, with the drug problem, and all these things. It wasn't meant to deal with that, but because of the present condition of society, the state has taken on this additional burden. Therefore, the state is overwhelmed with too many things to take care of. And this, I believe, accounts for the reason the government is falling apart and acting the way it does. I think the reason why the government is you know, broke in high debts and is a waster of money and doesn't actually give good outcomes when it does spend a ton of money, it's because the state wasn't meant to do that. The state, and what I mean by the state, let's take where I live in Oregon right now. I don't just mean the state of Oregon. When I say the state, that includes the government in Salem. That includes the government in the counties, the city government. It just means that entity, that governs our lives. The state wasn't meant to solve the homeless problem. Therefore, the state is going to spend a ton of money on the homeless issue and only make it worse with terrible outcomes. It wasn't meant to deal with the drug issues. That's the church's job, to deal with these dysfunctions of the human person. The state isn't meant to deal with a lot of things. It's, you know, let the state deal with building roads, right? Deal with zoning laws, things of that nature. But when it comes to the human person and the function of society on a daily basis, let the associations that are made up of individual humans figure that out. Let the unions figure out what a proper wage is. Don't let the state figure that out. Let the neighborhoods figure out how to deal with the homeless in their neighborhood. Let the business associations figure out what is just when it comes to running business, and let the employees work with them to figure that out. All these things. So the Pope laments the fact that the state is just a waster of money with terrible outcomes because it wasn't meant to function in those capacities. The fifth point he makes here is that the state and individuals must work together to end class warfare. Of course, he's dogging on communism in this one, but we must work together to end class warfare. And we do have that. We have people rising up, tax the rich, right? Like that's ever going to happen. Or we've got people, you know, dogging on the poor because they're poor, making fun of them, making life harder, you know, whatever it is. Just got this pitting of the classes against each other. Again, the media does not help with this. But how do you do that? Certainly, again, the media is feeding into this class warfare, and so are the communist professors at our universities. So some definite reforms of the universities and reforms of the media should take place without infringing on free speech. One way, by the way, you can help reform media is if media is not doing its job and is only linking with the state or with a certain ideology, just flip off the channel. Turn the channel or turn it off altogether and go hiking and get out in nature. That'll be much more healing for you than watching TV all the time. All right, sixth, the labor and professions. You know, so, you know, the Pope talks about you've got the labor, that's the people working on the assembly line, so to speak, and the professions, meaning the people pushing paperwork in the offices. The labor and professions must be newly established in a way that instead of professions seeing labor as a commodity, they see them as partners. So he says, we need to actually start all over, scrap the whole thing, start all over, and have it so that the leaders of the organization or the company and the people working and doing the physical outworking of the products, working together to build that company, to make decisions, and to share the profit. There must be a new vision in society that sees each human as a wonderful part of society. I'm going to repeat that. There must be a new vision in society that sees each human as a wonderful part of society, all working together for the common good. Again, this is not socialism. This is a voluntary joining together, agreeing to work for the common good. What the Pope brings out in this section sounds to me a lot like the original caste system of India. India has the caste system, and a lot of people laugh at it, or they, you know, may roll their eyes or say negative things about the caste system in India, but that's only because, as humans, we know how to take good things and ruin it. But originally, the caste system was a great idea in India. What it did is it recognized that certain people, and certain people due to DNA, have certain proclivities towards things. So, for example, in some families, it just appears that generation after generation, that family is just intelligent, like book smart, intelligent geniuses being pumped out of these families almost. And then some families' lines just seems to be very athletic. Like, no matter what, there's so many athletes coming out of those certain family lines. Or there's doctors, the people with this incredible knowledge of how the human body functions, whatever. So India, and recognize that, saying, in order to have an ordered society, we're going to create the system where, based upon DNA, you are going to be a scientist or you're whatever. And it doesn't mean in the original Indian caste system, doesn't mean that you're stuck in that. It's just like we're recognizing that we're going towards that. But if you, you know, are different from most of your family, you know, you can cross over in the caste system. But in the original, it was like this ordered way of going about society where everybody's working together for the common good of India. But again, like I said, as humans, we tend to ruin things. And so it happened in India. The caste system just got ruined. But it's this idea, what the Pope is bringing about, is that we recognize that everybody matters and everybody's working together for a good society. That can't happen in individualism. And individualism, which is so celebrated in America, you just end up with division. People pitted against each other, people not caring about their neighbors who are struggling. You just have this chaos. On the other hand, in socialism, you have this just depressing, oppressive, dark place that people are forced to live in. But then there's this other option where everybody is voluntarily contributing towards the common good. They are given space to thrive as an individual, but they use that towards the common good of everyone. So they're not being forced by the state, and that everything's not just getting stuck and lost on them, but they, as an individual, are allowing their life to branch out to others in society. The Pope says that's what we need. The next point, and I'm going to read paragraph 84 to show you what the Pope is bringing out in this next point instead of trying to ruin it with my own paraphrase. But he says, he's talking about St. Thomas Aquinas, and he says, because order, as St. Thomas Aquinas well explains, is unity. So here's what St. Thomas Aquinas explains, that unity arises from harmonious arrangement of many objects. A true, genuine social order demands that the various members of a society be united together by some strong bond. This unifying force is present not only in the producing of goods or the rendering of services, in which the employers and employees of an identical industry or profession collaborate jointly, but also in that common good to achieve which all industries and professions together ought, each to the best of its ability, to cooperate amicably. Sorry, got tongue-tied on that. And this unity will be the stronger and more effective the more faithfully individuals and the industries and professions themselves strive to do their work and excel in it. So what the Pope is bringing out is that there is this opportunity for, if you take the same industries, let's say there's somebody whose job is to make cars, okay? You'll have different car companies in the industry. And these car companies are going to strive to be the best. So for example, Toyota's like, we're going to make the best hybrid car there is. And you know, whatever company, we're going to make the best electric car, whatever. Some company may say we're going to make the best pickup trucks there are, whatever. And the Pope says, great, you've got this individual competition, but it's not one person against another. It's one company competing with another company in the same industry. But he says, but there's an additional step. These industries cross over and work with each other. So let's say Ford says we're making the best pickup truck, and we're going to make hybrid vehicle cars, But we're not focusing on that being the best, the pickup truck. And Toyo says, well, we're not focusing on pickup trucks, although we'll make them, but we're focusing on the best hybrid car, right? Well, then if they work together, then what happens is the Pope says in society for the common good, suddenly you have people have choices at things to where it becomes better for everyone. But what happens now is that there becomes monopolies that grows out of collaboration, well, really not collaboration, but rather buyouts. There comes individualism to the point in these companies that instead of working together to create the best, you end up with just junky everything because nobody's talking to anybody. Nobody's learning from anybody and so on. And you can apply that to any products. What the Pope envisions is, yes, individual competition and collaboration for the common good so that you end up with the best of everything for society. The next point, number 8, the best way to achieve this type of society is through unions and associations. Through unions and associations. So unions can help, say for example, the electrical workers union, you know, they'll work with different companies and maybe they can help those companies communicate with each other on good ideas. Associations, I think of the Hoover Institute at Stanford University, associations that are bringing ideas together. And there's many others. I named one of 1,000, you know. The next point, an unfettered, and I want you to hear this because the Pope says something that's going to offend you, especially if you are an American. And he's going to say, he says that an unfettered free market is not good. A free market must be balanced by the drive to work for the good of the nation. Sorry, Ben Shapiro. Because it is not rugged individualism. It is not unfettered capitalism, an unfettered free market. It is a free market, yes, but balanced by the drive to work for the good of the nation. So really, you know, the Pope has warned us before about the two rocks that society, if society is a ship, there's two rocks that society could slam into and sink, and that is the rock of individualism and collectivism. So what he's doing is saying by having a free market that's balanced by working for the good of the nation, you take the excesses away from individualism and collectivism, and you balance them out into this beautiful harmony. The next, number 10, to the next level, beyond working for the good of the nation, is that each nation working for the good of each other. So remember, today we're talking about the reform of institutions. By doing that, we're getting rid of individualism, the excesses of individualism and collectivism. We're working together. Companies are working together for the good of the nation. And now the next level, he says, in this reform is each nation working for the good of each other. So the United States becomes amazing at whatever it becomes amazing at. Mexico, the nations of Africa, Europe, all these places, Asia, they become amazing at what they do good. And then they work together to help each other strengthen what is weak in every nation. And every nation does have its weaknesses. Now, paragraph 90 of the encyclical serves as a good summary of what the Pope is trying to get across today. He says in paragraph 90, and it's a short paragraph, if the members of the body social are, as we said, reconstituted, and if the directing principle of economic social life is restored, it will be possible to say, in a certain sense, even this body, what the apostle says of the mystical body of Christ, the whole body being closely joined and knit together through each joint of the system, according to the functioning and due measure of each single part, derives its increase to the building up of itself in love. Paragraph 90. That is a beautiful summary of the whole thing. And then, two more points, principles from today's study. There is a legitimate fear that syndications and unions and associations will come into cahoots with the state, then we have trouble. So we got to make sure that the unions, the syndications, and the associations are not creating a super monopoly with the state. And then finally, all this must come, and if you're not a religious person, this will offend you, but it's the truth. It just is. All this must come with the guidance of the Catholic Church and its principles. Now, by the guidance of the Catholic Church and its principles, I do not mean, and the Pope does not mean, the bad actors or individual Catholics. All Catholics are broken. And that's the whole point of being in the church, is to say I'm broken and I need healed and I can't do it myself. But, and you know, when I go up to receive the body and blood of Christ at Mass each week, every time I go up, there's three prayers I pray as I'm walking towards the front of the church. But one of them is, I am broken and I need Jesus. I am coming up here to receive communion because I am broken and I need this healing of his body and blood. So all this comes with the guidance of the Catholic Church. But what I mean by that is the Catholic Church as this mystical body, this physical yet mystical body that throughout history has lived out the kingdom of God. So I'm not talking about individuals who are screwballs like myself. I'm talking about the church as it is in all of its spiritual perfection and its principles. So that's today. I really want to hear your feedback. Let me know what you think. Next time we're going to talk about moral corrections, because the Pope's going to bring about the fact that we could have, you know, try to confront injustices in society. We could reform institutions. But unless there's a change of the human heart, it's for nothing. So I wear glasses. And at first, the glasses are great. Whenever I go to the eye doctor and get a new prescription, they're great. And I can see clearly. However, over time, my vision changes. And I have to go back to the optometrist and get new glasses so I can see clear again. Well, in society, a renewed vision is good and allows citizens of that society to clearly move forward. So from time to time, it is necessary for societies to get a checkup on their vision and make corrections wherever necessary. But as humans, it is in our nature for our vision to become blurred, and sometimes even a society goes blind, like the German society of the 1930s did. It helps to renew the vision for society so that things become clear again. The Church and Pope Pius XI can guide us in this as we create a just society right where we are.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.